You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. Today's episode is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is a refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for watching football. Happy Thursday to you. It's Crossover Thursday across the Locked On Podcast Network, and in just a few minutes, I'm going to be joined by Mike DeBate, the host of the Locked On Patriots podcast, to help get ready for this Bills-Patriots game on Sunday and have a discussion about the two teams. But first, I want to touch on a couple of newsy items that came our way over the last few days when it comes to the Buffalo Bills, a slew of roster moves here that we need to touch on. The first thing, I guess, that happened was Andre Smith, a linebacker, has been signed to the active roster from the practice squad. To make space for him, Deion Lacy was released from the active roster and then signed back to the practice squad. The team also activated John Feliciano from injured reserve. So Feliciano is eligible to play on Sunday. He is back and practicing in full. So everything would indicate that he is going to play on Sunday against the New England Patriots. The team also designated Levi Wallace and linebacker Delshawn Phillips to return from practice. They were both previously on injured reserve, and now the Bills have 21 days to activate them on the roster. They don't count against the 53. They're not available to play, but since they are designated to return, the Bills have a 21-day window to activate them, which means they have to release somebody from the current active roster whenever that time comes. The other note here is that part of making this slew of moves possible, you know, including two guys now on the active roster that were not previously on there, the first one being Andre Smith, the next one being John Feliciano, is that the team still had an open roster spot from Dawson Knox and him having a COVID designation. So there was a roster spot available. So when I talked about two guys going on to the active roster, but only one guy going off, remember, there was a spot vacated by Dawson Knox and his COVID designation. The first injury report of the week came out, and there's a notable one on there, one that we weren't aware of until it came through, and that is that Micah Hyde did not practice on Wednesday with a designation of a concussion. And so after that big hit against Breshad Perriment towards the very end of the game, one of the final plays of the game, Micah Hyde came off the field, and there were some questions about why and was he ejected or what was the scoop there? Well, it looks like he's got a concussion. And so his status for Sunday is very much in jeopardy. So we'll talk about Hyde as well as Jerry Hughes, who didn't practice on Wednesday, and all the other Bills that are injured on tomorrow's podcast with Dr. Kyle Trimble from Banged Up Bills. Also on tomorrow's podcast, I teased this yesterday. I wanted to make sure it happened before I announced it, but our opening segment tomorrow is going to be a conversation that I had with former Buffalo Bills kicker Jake Arians. And him and I work together at the Draft Network. He hosts a couple of podcasts for us and does a little bit of writing. And so we have a relationship, and we've talked in the past about kicking in the NFL. And I've been texting with him a ton about Tyler Bass, trying to pick his brain about, you know, just what's going on there and what type of information that I could relay to the listeners of this podcast. And I finally got to a point where I'm like, Jake, can you just come on for like 15 minutes and chat with me and share anything that you're willing to say to Bills Mafia about rookie kickers, expectations, what it's like to be in that role, and how we can evaluate Tyler Bass and understand if he's improving or not. So that's a terrific conversation. Jake was very candid. He shared some great stories. He's always entertaining. And I think you guys will really enjoy that conversation tomorrow on the podcast. So don't miss it. Make sure that you are subscribed. We got a good one coming for you on Friday. RockAuto.com is a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. They have amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need over at RockAuto.com. Joe Marino of Locked On Bills, joined now by Mike DeBate, the host of the Locked On Patriots podcast, to help us get ready for this AFC East divisional showdown on Sunday between the Bills and Patriots. And Mike, I want to start by asking you a question about this Patriots offense under the direction of Cam Newton. What's working, what's not working, and what does this thing look like, obviously, without 12 there playing quarterback anymore?
Well, it's been an interesting transition, Joe, without any question. I mean, anyone that thought that this was going to be a like-for-like plug-and-play and that Cam was going to come in and be able to essentially run the Brady offense and only add a dimension of having RPOs incorporated and zone reads incorporated probably are disappointed right now. And I think that's why you're seeing a whole lot of Patriots Nation confused as to what this offense is looking like. Look, bottom line, if you want to see what this offense is capable of looking like under Cam Newton, need to go back to week one against the Miami Dolphins. They were very effective in incorporating zone reads, very effective in incorporating some RPO, utilizing play action to open up the running game, and utilizing the arm to throw the ball down the field. I think Cam did all of that very well. Also, in the second half of the Seattle Seahawks game in week two, Patriots offense looked very effective, and Cam actually might have been even better with his arm in that game than he was with his legs. You can make the argument that he made plays downfield that allowed the Patriots to nearly steal a win in that situation. For the last couple of weeks, the offense has looked out of sorts. There's no question about it. This is an offense, Joe, that really is so predicated on a couple of things when it comes to the New England Patriots. It's really all about timing. Timing is such an important part of what the Patriots do from an offensive side of the ball. It's also quickness as well. Quickness both of the receivers getting open and the quarterback getting rid of the ball. That has not been the case for Cam the last couple of weeks against Denver and again against the 49ers. Cam seems to be healthy. He's saying all the right things. He said that he will. And from the footage that I've been looking at and dissecting these two games, his mechanics are a little bit off. It's not necessarily that his fundamental mechanics are off, but he's holding on to the ball a little bit too much. He's not incorporating some of those reads that we saw early on. And the Patriots essentially have been trying to run the offense that they ran under Tom Brady with Cam Newton, and it simply just doesn't work that way. What the Patriots, in my opinion, will need to do in order to right this ship is to take a look at what Cam does well, take a look at his strengths, and utilize those. You're going to have to get his wide receivers and even his running backs catching the ball out of the backfield on the same page. It looks like the timing issue right now is a little bit off. Some of these guys are still anticipating where Tom would have thrown the ball as opposed to where Cam does. So it's about getting that synergy between receiver and quarterback. If they can do that, this can still be a very effective offense. They can make plays and get the ball down the field, but they're going to need to work on fundamentals first. And it sounds like from what Josh McDaniels, Jed Fish, the quarterback's coach for the Patriots, and Bill Belichick have said so far this week, they seem to be focusing and going back to basics. So it may look a little more basic for the Patriots this week, but I think it will look more efficient in the long run.
You know, the Patriots sit at 2-4, third place in the AFC East. They've lost three in a row. That's the first time that's happened for the Patriots since 2002. It's obviously a different time there in Foxborough. What is the messaging like from the players and coaches, and how is the fan base kind of processing some of these struggles that didn't exist really for a very long time?
Well, I think the fan base is struggling simply because it's uncharted territory for a lot of them. I mean, you look back at the New England Patriots' success for the last two decades, they haven't dealt with three-game losing streaks. They haven't dealt with being in third place this late in the season. No one is going to shed any tears without any question. The New England Patriots fan base has had it very good for the last 20 years or so. So there are some growing pains, but I think the fans that really, eat, sleep, and drink this team understand the growing pains that they're going through right now. So, yeah, there's going to be fan base members that are going to jump off the bandwagon. You know, I mean, that's the nature of the way things are going. But at the same time, I think if you take a look and you dissect what this team can do, both on offense and on defense, you'll see there's still a team that's capable of being in contention. The message from the coaches and the players has been consistently positive. They have a lot of great leadership on this team. Guys that I've had a chance to cover for a good number of years, like Devin McCourty, Matthew Slater. These guys really know how to hearken that type of heart that you need in order to pull you through some of the more difficult times. And I think that's exactly what you're going to continue to see from the Patriots. You're going to see growth. You're going to see players that are going to be capable of being leaders on the field. For all intents and purposes, Cam Newton has done a very good job in that department. He's been very accountable. He's been very accessible to the media. Put a lot on his shoulders, and he's showing an awful lot of leadership as well in that locker room for someone that is new to the locker room, but he's in such a high profile position, Joe, that he needs to be the leader. He needs to be a guy that everyone in that locker room can look up to. And so far, that's what you're seeing. So yeah, some negativity from the fan base, but ultimately positivity coming from the locker room. And I think in the long run, that's really what matters and maybe the key to the Patriots refinding some of that success.
Mike, let's talk about this Patriots defense. What have you learned about this unit so far in 2020? What are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? I did some work on them yesterday, and I noticed that some of the characteristics that are always true about Bill Belichick defenses are true about this one, whether it's forcing turnovers, getting pressure on the quarterback, limiting points. So what's maybe different, and what can you tell us about this Patriots defense in 2020?
Yeah, the Patriots defense is still continuing that same blueprint. They have a very strong secondary, a defensive line that definitely tries to match up physicality with an offensive line, and also linebackers that can be versatile. The problem that the Patriots have had this year defensively, Joe, is they simply don't have the personnel that they did a year ago. Gone are guys like Jamie Collins, Kyle Van Noy, Landon Roberts. They're all vacated via free agency. Dante Hightower opts out. Then Patrick Chung opts out. You're talking about two of the greatest communicators in that locker room and on that field no longer being around. They still have strong leadership when it comes to the McCourty twins, both Devin and Jason. Stephon Gilmore, obviously a name your fan base knows very well. A lot of surrounding him right now that I'm sure we'll get into at a later date, but he's still in that locker room for right now. And I honestly expect him to be for the remainder of the year, but that's just my opinion. But he provides a lot of stability when it comes to the way that secondary can play. And they have a lot of complementary good pieces. Look, the struggles that the Patriots have had right now when it comes to execution has really been a lot to do with personnel. Their defensive line has been devastated by some injuries. Their true nose tackle, Bo Allen, that they signed in the offseason, has yet to suit up in an NFL game for them this year. That changes the complexity of the way the Patriots can defend the run. Lawrence Guy and Adam Butler have been very good, but Butler's been slowed a little bit by some injuries as well. The linebacker position has been hit hard. Juwan Bentley has been phenomenal in filling in for the vacated now Dante Hightower. But guys like Chase Winovich, guys like Dietrich Wise Jr., John Simon, Shalique Calhoun, these linebacker slash defensive edge, defensive end edge rushers have been called upon to do a lot more. The last couple of weeks, I've been noticing that these players have been overplaying it, and that allows them to get bashed pretty badly on the edge, and that's something they're going to have to shore up a little bit. Chase Winovich is one of their more explosive pass rushers, and he hasn't been a focal point in their defense for the last couple of weeks. I would look for that to change if I'm the Patriots, because I think it adds that unstoppable motor and that physicality that the Patriots seem to be lacking right now. So all in all, it's a different looking defense. It's the same concept, but personnel has limited them a little bit. So they're a place to be had, but when this team is clicking on all cylinders, it can still shut down some of the best offenses in the league. And we saw that a couple of weeks ago against Kansas City.
Last thing I had for you, Mike, is I want to know a couple of different things from you. First of all, when you think about this season so far in its totality, what has surprised you the most about the Patriots in general? And then can you tell us maybe about some of the bright spots with this Patriots team that maybe we are not familiar with that are new names that are emerging for New England?
The thing that surprises me, I guess, most about this team is the next man up concept. And I mean that in a positive way. Look, bottom line, the Patriots have lost an awful lot. I mean, they've lost their heart and soul for the last 20 years. Tom Brady was the face of the New England Patriots franchise. And in a lot of ways, Joe, he's always going to be. To lose a player like that would normally devastate a franchise. And some may argue that, yeah, they're 2-4, not playing well right now. It has devastated them. I don't think they're going to continue on this trend. I think there's a little too much talent on this team to simply just roll over and tank for whoever the fan base seems to want at the quarterback position at the moment. But in a lot of ways, I think what we're seeing is a concept and a system that is designed for long-term success. They may struggle with personnel at times, but they're going to continue to ride that. And I think that's what continues to surprise me about this team is even though they lose a phenomenal amount of players, even though they continue to be decimated by injury, they were hit, arguably you can say they may have been hit the hardest by COVID opt-outs and COVID situations. They continue to feel the team that is still competitive on the field, and I think they'll remain as such. In terms of bright spots, there have been a couple of guys that have stood out to me. On offense, Damian Harris has looked phenomenal. I really love the way this kid runs. He runs hard. He runs with a purpose. He's been able to get open. He can break for big runs, but he's also very adept at being able to catch the ball out of the backfield. If I'm Josh McDaniels and the Patriots' offensive brain trust, a lot of the offensive changes that they're trying to incorporate to make players feel more comfortable, I'm utilizing him and I'm trying to utilize him as best as possible. On the defensive side of the ball, a big surprise, you know, for me has been the play of Adrian Phillips, who I had the good fortune of covering in when I covered the Los Angeles Chargers. I knew that this guy was going to come in and be a special teams warrior. I expected him to contribute and play well on defense, but he has really been a hybrid linebacker that leads the team in tackles, and he always seems to be right in the thick of big plays. So his leadership has really helped to lessen Patrick Chung, the loss of Patrick Chung, I should say, and he's been great. But the brightest spot for me has been the rookie on the offensive line, Michael Onwenu. He's been phenomenal. He's been able to play everywhere they needed him to play. His massive wingspan has allowed him to be very difficult to be beat by any type of edge defender or linebacker. He provides great protection on the offensive line. He's slimmed down a little bit. That's very odd to say considering the size of Onwenu. If you've seen him, he's a pretty big guy, but he has lost a little bit that's allowed him to be more agile, and I think that's translated to him being such a great addition to this offensive line. So he's been my brightest spot this year, but Harris and Phillips are guys that have caught my eye as well.
This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. I love watching the game with my family and, of course, with an ice-cold Pepsi in my hand. Pepsi is a refreshment you need to power through any game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
Patriots fans and Buffalo Bills fans, it is Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And as always, I am thrilled to be joined by my good friend and host of the Locked On Bills podcast, Joe Marino. I'm Mike DeBate, host of Locked On Patriots. And Joe, Buffalo's offense has played some impressive football this season. I continue to be a fan of the way this team does things both on offense and on defense. Their coaching style. To me, this is probably a team that I still believe is underrated when it comes to the amount of press and the amount of accolades that they get. But that's been mainly because of Josh Allen's growth as a quarterback and his connection with his newest weapon, a wide receiver I coveted for the New England Patriots for a good number of years, and that is Stephon Diggs. He leads the Bills with 48 receptions, 603 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He's far from the only talented player on the offense, though, with the other receivers, running back, in terms of Devin Singletary, who's playing very well. They contribute all on a regular basis. Before we gush a little bit about Josh Allen, tell us a little about what this Bills offense has looked like to you so far this year, and what are some of their strengths, what are some of their weaknesses, what can we expect to see on the field for the Buffalo Bills for the remainder of the season?
Well, Mike, the best thing that the Bills offense does is throw the football, and it's been a big part of what they do. They're one of the most pass-heavy offenses in the NFL. They throw it in neutral game scripts. It's just what they do. In fact, you kind of hear some of the Bills fans rumbling and asking for more of the run game. But quite honestly, it's not been the most effective thing. And Brian Daboll has stayed with passing the football a good bit. And what's been interesting is the personnel groupings. You're seeing obviously a ton of 11 personnel, 3 wide receiver sets. But the Bills are not shy about going with 4 wide receivers, 10 personnel. They're the most 10 personnel heavy team in the NFL. And what that really does is it creates situations where opposing defenses are putting a lot of defensive backs on the field and creating really nice spacing and opportunities for Josh Allen to work the football in. And he's taken another step. I think you saw a big step last year. I think you're seeing another one this year in terms of his consistency, his mental approach to the game, his decision-making, working the football down the field. You're seeing Josh take another step, and him being able to use all these weapons at his disposal for him to continue growing with Brian Daboll and creating more of a volume of what they like to do and knowing each other even better. You've seen a lot of good scheme evolution when it comes to the Bills offense. Now, we're all kind of looking for the offense to get on track this week. Started off, really unbelievably well in the first 4 games of the season. And then over the last 3, you've seen a step back. And I think John Brown not being healthy for that stretch has really hurt the Bills offense. I mean, obviously, Stephon Diggs is the talk of the receiver core, but let's not forget John Brown was a 1,000-yard receiver for this team last year. And his injuries have taken away something, I think. And he's supposed to be back and healthy this week, which will be a big boost for the Bills offense. And then, you think about Josh Allen in that Raiders game. Late in the contest, he took a hit and it hurt his non-throwing shoulder. And I think from that moment, he's not quite been the same player, the MVP-level type player we saw in the first few weeks of the season. So as he gets further removed from that, it seems like he's gaining more comfort. We like the way he looked against the Jets last week. But as we process this game from a Bills perspective, it's all about how Josh Allen does and his next opportunity to match up against the New England Patriots in Bill Belichick's defense, a defense that has been problematic for him. We saw him play much better in the second game against New England last year as compared to the first one when he turned over the ball so many times and really forced some plays. So can he take another step from the Josh Allen we saw against New England late the season last year when, it was a tight game and Josh had a fairly efficient game?
Yeah, without any question. I'm so glad that you mentioned Allen, because that leads me quite nicely into my next question for you. And Allen was off to a terrific start this year. Over the first 4 games, completed 71% of his passes, 1,326 yards, 12 touchdowns, only 1 pick. Those are MVP caliber numbers, and he was mentioned in that conversation. Since then, his numbers have gone down. He's been successful only 63.1% of his throws, 692 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 3 picks. And you mentioned about Josh Allen kind of being one way in the first game that New England Patriots played, and then later in the season evolved and played much better. Is this a case of a tale of two Josh Allens, or do you believe that the way that the Patriots defense stacks up against him will determine the Josh Allen that we'll see on the field this coming Sunday?
Well, you certainly did a good job of sharing the differences in performance over the first 4 weeks versus the last 3. I certainly point to the injury of John Brown and even Josh Allen to an extent to describe some of that, but there's no question that the offense has not been as effective. Josh hasn't been as effective. Some of the dynamics surrounding the Tennessee game and the Kansas City game were very challenging, with Tennessee amid a COVID outbreak and scheduling uncertainty there. And I think Tennessee handled that situation a lot better than the Bills did. And, you know, Josh threw a couple of interceptions in that game. And I think it, you know, on the first drive of the game, actually, it happened. And I thought that set the performance behind. And then John Brown got hurt. And then against Kansas City, it was a situation where the Chiefs handled that better than the Bills, where there was some wet conditions and didn't seem to affect Pat Mahomes, but it did Josh Allen. And I thought he pressed a little bit in that game, but we saw him get on track a bit more against the Jets last week, over 300 yards and near 70% of his passes were completed. There's been a stylistic difference in the way defenses are playing Josh Allen so far this year. Last year, we saw teams come at him with man coverage and a lot of even zero, you know, no high safety and heavy blitz packages. And they go out and get Stephon Diggs, and Josh Allen has been able to beat man coverage very consistently this year. And so now you're seeing the opposite. As Josh Allen's become a better thrower down the field and more consistency with his accuracy down the field, you're seeing teams play a lot more soft zone coverage against Josh and forcing him to be patient and take those profits and make some throws with anticipation between zones. And that's been the next step of Josh Allen, as teams have gone away from that man-heavy philosophy against him and go into this zone philosophy. It's been another opportunity for Josh to grow and develop and prove that he can beat this next challenge that is the new trend for how to play Josh Allen. So what's exciting about facing New England and Bill Belichick coach defense is that, you know, Bill Belichick is going to figure out the best thing that you do, and he's going to figure out how to stop it, and you have to try to win in other ways. And so I look forward to this game as a measuring stick in a lot of ways to see how Josh has evolved, not just from an execution perspective, but from his mental approach to how Bill Belichick is going to face him. So, you know, we've seen a really hot start. We've seen him sizzle a little bit, but this is going to be a really good measuring stick, I think, to really understand where Josh Allen is at. He should be healthy. And of course, John Brown's back this week, which should be a big boost to the offense.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you pointed out the prowess and the importance of John Brown to this offense as well, because it is a big factor. And injuries do always affect how the offense can click on all cylinders. Things can change in the blink of an eye, and we've seen that with some of the difficulties that the Patriots have had offensively as of late. But Joe, flipping over to the opposite side of the ball for just a moment, and Buffalo's defense, which had been among the top in the league at one point, was ranked at the top of the league in 2019, is currently at a level that not a lot of people expected, ranked 18th in scoring, 21st in DVOA, 25th in EPA, and last in success rate. But this unit still features some very talented players across the board. I've always been a fan of the way this team is constituted, from the defensive front to the linebacker core to the secondary. Ed Oliver, Tremaine Edmonds, Tre'Davious White, some of my favorite defenders in the league. And I think when this unit is clicking on all cylinders, it has that big play ability written all over it. Maybe it's yet to put it all together this season, but this unit is certainly capable of leading the Bills to victory, even if their offense is sputtering a bit. Considering some of the difficulty that you see in the Patriots' offense right now, do the Buffalo Bills' defense smell blood in the water a little bit with this matchup coming up on Sunday?
You know, I don't think anyone's surprised that the Bills are 5-2. They've been 5-2 three of the last four seasons. I think we're very surprised at how the Bills got to 5-2. Riding the arm of Josh Allen, not really running the football very well, and playing poor defense. There's no question about it. They certainly played very well against the Jets last week, limiting them to just 4 yards in the second half of the game, 190 total yards, 6 sacks, multiple interceptions. You know, so that was a bit of a get right moment there for the defense. But we know what this Jets team is, and certainly that's not a great gauge for where you're at, although you like to see them play well and gain some confidence, because that has not been the case in the five games before that so far this season. You know, when I look at this Bills defense, it's very confusing to me why they're not playing better, because you're looking at the same coaching staff that coached a top three defense in 2018 and 2019. You're looking at basically the exact same players, except for some additions that they made in the defensive line, where they let Shaq Lawson and Jordan Phillips go, and they chose to bring in Mario Addison and Vernon Butler and Quentin Jefferson and draft AJ Epenesa. So you kind of looked at that as a net upgrade. And so you're looking at the same coaches, the same defensive personnel, and potentially an upgrade on the defensive line. And you're seeing a big dip in the results, as you outlined there already, Mike. I want to blame a lot of this on injuries. You look at the cornerback situation for the Bills. They've all been hurt. Tre'Davious White has been limited with a back injury. He's missed games this year so far. Josh Norman has been injured. Levi Wallace is injured. Matt Milano has been injured. He's not played much this year. Tremaine Edmonds has been battling a shoulder injury. And so it could be that simple of an explanation, Mike, is that these key players that have been so critical to the defensive sack success in recent years are just banged up, and they're not performing at their highest level. But at the same time, to see this much of a decline is kind of tough to process based on the precedent that has been set in Buffalo. Now, we know the Patriots are going to want to run the football. We know it. They're going to get all three of those backs involved. They're going to get Cam Newton involved in the run game. They're going to wham block, sift block. They're going to create extra gaps, and they are going to attack downhill. We know that's going to be what the Patriots are going to do. And so you're looking back at the Bills games against the Titans and the Raiders, where you saw really premier rushing attacks and Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs, the Bills did a good job of bottling those guys up. Now, with that said, it's a different type of rushing attack here. And so it'll be a great test for the Bills and their ability to maintain their gap integrity, stay in their run fits, play with leverage, play downhill, tackle, all those types of things. So when you say they're out for blood potentially against a fluttering offense, you know, this is a unique challenge because they've not seen a quarterback that is involved as much in the run game like Cam Newton, and this style of rushing attack will be certainly a different test. And so that'll be key to the Patriots on Sunday, is getting that run game going and open up some chances to throw it. And it'll be a good, I think, a measuring stick here for an offense that's trying to get on track against a defense that's trying to get on track on Sunday.
Absolutely. And, you know, bottom line, my friend, the Bills are in the driver's seat in this division for a reason. You mentioned they've been riding the arm of Josh Allen. The defense hasn't quite been up to par, but again, they're a playmakers and they're starting to get healthy. Patriots are not used to being in third place in this division. We've seen them sputter a little bit this year, but there are still bright spots for this team, both on offense and on defense. And there's always a lot to break down, and these games are always hotly contested when these two teams hook up. 1 p.m. Orchard Park, New York, this Sunday, November 1st, folks. The Patriots and the Bills in a very good AFC showdown. I am Mike DeBate of Locked On Patriots. He is Joe Marino of Locked On Bills. Joe, it's always a pleasure to join you here on the microphone. I always love this crossover. It's one that's always circled on my calendar, and one that I, for one, you know, definitely enjoy each and every time we get a chance to share the mic. So best of luck to you on Sunday. I know we'll be tripping back and forth a little at each other during this one, but it's what makes the world go round, my friend. And, you know, hopefully we'll see a good game on Sunday between these two teams.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for us today here on this podcast. I certainly appreciate you joining me for this episode. Don't miss tomorrow. We're going to have that conversation that I told you about at the opening with former Bills kicker Jake Arians. We're going to talk to Kyle Trimble of Banged Up Bills and get an understanding of where the Bills are at with the injuries heading into Sunday. And then, of course, my predictions for Bills-Patriots version 1 in 2020. Big opportunity for the Bills to get to 6-2 and 4-0 in the division halfway through the season. And I'll let you know my guess as to how things will unfold on Sunday on tomorrow's podcast. So don't miss it. Make sure that you're subscribed. Rate, review, share the podcast if you so kindly will. And I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.